have in common with our pastor is that we're both engineers, and we engineers are known to be, or you know, men of few words, maybe boring, old-fashioned. But we always analyze things to the nth degree and be very methodical and everything. But so we don't talk that much, so I'm sure I won't keep you for that long. So I just want to pray quickly before I start. Lord, your word accomplishes things in our hearts, in our minds, Lord. And Father, this morning I pray that your Holy Spirit will indeed do what needs to be done here this morning, Lord. And Father, that whatever gets said, Lord, will glorify your name, and there will be, our hearts will be changed. We'll be excited to go out and do things, Lord, that will change Swakopmund, will change this world, Lord. Father, we pray for your presence now in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a message. The topic is quite long, I was told. But you know why we should have the courage to take the next steps. You know, we've had over the last weeks and even months, we have had God speaking to us that we should cross over individually in our lives. We should, as a church, cross over, take possession. We should take on the heart of a lion. We should go into the water, you know, with our ankles knee-deep, waist-deep, and go and swim, you know. And our small groups have been growing at a rate that, you know, we have to, we don't call it split, we have to multiply, okay? I'm always very careful when I talk about that. But we have to invite more people now. As the groups multiply, it is exciting just to see how the Lord, the experience that we have in our prayers, you know, how the Lord is guiding us there. You know, and I think that the Lord is telling us that we're ready to take the next steps and that we should take them. You know, and I know that this message has been probably a lot of times been told to us. I don't know exactly. I don't exactly know what those next steps are, but you know what I want to share this morning, just a few things, is why we should take the next steps, or what should compel us to, not exactly what we have to do, but what should compel us to take those next steps. And you know, I am, like I said, I'm not a pastor. I don't have 7 points. You know, I've got two. All right. So, and it's, my first one is, you know, as you see, I put the why we should have the courage. Now, you know, that picture obviously might talk of courage, but there is there indeed a lot of things out there that need, where we need a lot of courage, and probably more than that, you know, where we have to go into situations. I mean, it takes quite a lot of courage to stand up here as well. But we have to go into situations to where we haven't been before, you know, and do things that we haven't done before. My first point is that why should we have the courage to take the next step? And that is because the Lord commands us to go. The Lord actually commands us to take those next steps, you know. And I want to read just Matthew 28. Verse 18 to 20, it says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Go. That is the word that I want to focus on. You know, if we want to experience God's hand in our lives, then we have to go. We'll have to go, and I said to you, I don't exactly know where we have to go, but we have enormous mission fields daily in our lives. You know, whether it is in the hostels, in the schools, at our work, in our families, with our friends, there's, you know, and we could go on with the list. You know, there are enormous mission fields where we can go and go and make disciples. We can go and know that the Lord is with us always. Now, for young people, you know, I know that, you know, it's probably easy for me to say, go and in the hostel or in the school, to go and talk to people. And there's an enormous pressure to conform, to be what the majority does, to be in, to, you know, I mean, I was also young at some stage, but, you know, it takes a lot of courage to say what you believe, what, to stand out, and there's pressure. It's courage, more courage than, you know, touching that shark there, to say what you believe and to stand out. But you will experience God's hand if you do that. You know, you will, the Lord promises, surely I am with you always. You know, and you need to be courageous. But he promises that he will make your righteousness shine. You know, and that is what, when we have the courage to go, when we have the courage to actually take that next step, you know, in our walk, in our mission field, wherever it may be. Now, for the rest, you know, saying to the young people, I almost said, and to the older people, but to the rest of us, you know, there's a lot of routines in our lives that have come in. You know, every day we go to work and we suddenly, by 9 o'clock, we the same thing, or maybe different things, the same day, different things, you know, as they say. But we mustn't let those routines prevent us from taking that step in our spiritual walk, you know, to be different. Don't let those routines be that obstacle in your life, you know, because God wants to use us. You know, he's spoken to us through the small groups, through the sermons that we've heard here, that we should have the courage to go, because he commands us to go. You know, and something that was shared in our prayer meeting on Tuesday, you know, that we are the clay and God is the potter. Now, he wants to mold us. But you can't mold dry clay. You know, you need some moisture there. And we've had this message here, you know, last week, to go into the water. You know, you need that living water that God can actually mold you. You know, you need to take that step of faith to go and take those next steps, you know, so that God can actually mold you and he can form you in your place of work, in your family, wherever you are. You know, but if you don't take those steps, you know, you stay that dry clay and you won't feel God's hand in your life. You know, now, I said I won't say what are those next steps are, but obviously I'm also saying what are the next steps, and you know, what should I be doing? What should a lot of us be doing? You know, what can we think of? You know, we could go simple things. You know, I said engineers look at it, and you know, you have to have it methodical. You know, we go and think of what can I do? I can go invite someone to the small group. You know, that might be something that might be my next step, you know. My next step might be to go and talk to one of my family members, you know, and to then experience how God can use you and mold you, you know, that you then get that water into that clay so that he can use you. You know, you could go and visit somebody that's sick at work, you know. I mean, maybe not something that we would normally do, but you know, it's those things that I think we need to have the courage. You know, there's a lot of other things. in our congregation, in our church, that we can go and where we haven't gone before. You know, and I just want to read James 2, verse 18 and 20 as well. You know, it's always, you know, something that is, speaks very, you know, when we talk about where do we need to go? When it says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. And then verse 20 says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? You know, if we want to show our faith, if we want to walk out of this place and show our faith, it is with deeds. We have to go and touch lives. We have to go and talk to people. And every one of us sitting here today, I'm sure we've got many areas in our lives where we can go and take those next steps. You know, in my own walk, I seem to remember, you know, often only those times where I actually took that step. You know, and one of them, you know, it was many years ago. I was doing my 2 years compulsory military service, you know, and I was in Windhoek, and I worked with in the All Nations Church in Windhoek, and we took a weekend where we had a lot of scholars, and I was now giving evangelism training. Well, the scholars didn't know that I actually didn't know that much about evangelism either, but you know, I had the book, you know, like the teacher, you know, has a book, or the trainer has the book, the manual. And so, I mean, I was learning there as well as we were. The whole weekend we had, you know, very exciting sessions, and it was very, you know, we were all excited and everything. But then on Sunday afternoon, you know, we came to the end of the manual and said, okay, now go and do it. Now you go. And you go and evangelize now, you know, and that's when, you know, the butterflies start coming in your stomach, and it says, you know, the leader will teach the, you know, the students. So we decided we're going to go down Springbok Street in Olympia. We're going to go from house to house, you know, and evangelize. So now I'm the leader. You know, I must first show, and then the next house somebody else can do it. And you know, and it was exciting, because I mean, you go to a house, you don't know what to expect. You know, some houses we went in, and we had the opportunity to share. You know, we had the opportunity to evangelize, and you're so amazed that people are so open, and they will actually say yes, and you know, you forget what you actually learned, how to this step, and look at the picture on the wall and say, oh, it was nice, you know. But, you know, we also went to a house where they just said, go away. But, you know, I don't think I would have remembered that training session if we didn't go out. You know, if we didn't actually go out along Springbok Street there and trust God that He's going to be with us. You know, and I think it's those areas in our lives where we sometimes don't venture into. We may feel comfortable with certain things where we're very competent, and those things sometimes are a barrier that we actually go into grow, that we actually grow in our faith. You know, some people call it a tyranny of competence. You know, we are maybe very competent in something, but at the end, after a long time, this thing that you're very competent with actually becomes a barrier for you to grow. And that we need to take those steps into those areas where we are actually incompetent, or that we think we are incompetent. And you might call it like a cave of incompetence, I'm calling it here. That we have to venture into things where we have to trust God that He's going to be with us, that He's going to be with us always, that we, you know, to venture into those areas where we really have to trust Him. And I'm saying here this morning, you know, if we want to experience God's mighty hand, then we must venture into those areas where we feel uncomfortable, because then we will grow. Then we will, then God, you know, it's, I think those areas are very often then the water that gets added to that clay, so that God can mold us, and then you will suddenly feel and just see, you know, I can actually do this. You know, I never thought I can do this, and you propel yourself into growth, and the Lord can use you much more. You know, in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now we need to go into, offer our bodies as living sacrifices, not conform to the, no longer to the patterns of this world. We must, Christ living in us by faith must be that living sacrifice. A body sincerely devoted to God is a living sacrifice. And I often ask myself the question, if I only knew what God's will is for my life, then you know, then I will be okay. But you know, when you read God's word here and says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You know, if we do not conform to the patterns of this world, go and take that next step, in the next step that you have to trust God, that he will be with you as you go. You know, there's some time ago, Eric from Windhoek was here, and he says, often we have to remove those things from our mind that has been planted there over years and years, you know, and we must transform our mind. We must put those new things in our mind. We must allow, you know, our bodies to be a sacrifice that they can be transformed. Our minds can be transformed. And, you know, the greatest enemy of renewing our mind is this conforming to the world. You know, being, you know, like how everybody else does it, not to stand out. And it is, whether it is in a school or at work, and every one of us sitting here, I know constant pressure of conforming to the standards of this world. But the Lord says, go. You know, and it is just, when I look across here, I know that there are people that are in schools, people that are work in a hospital, people that work in a restaurant, people that, you know, I'm checking and I'm forgetting a lot of, but there's a lot of people here that work in areas all over Swakopmund, you know, and if we each take that next step and take, you know, how we can, like, you know, wildfires actually touch people's lives and grow in our own life. You know, the second point that I wanted to, it's very similar to, I almost only had one point, you know, but the second point that I have is that why should we have the courage to take the next step? It's because God chose you. You know, God chose you. And you must know what you are in Christ. If you know what you are in Christ, you know, that should be a compelling factor to say, yes, let me go. Let me have the courage. I mean, God chose you. And I want to just read Romans 8 from verse 31 into 39. It's quite long, but it's just so amazing what these words say. It says here, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, these two things, like who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? And the word saying, you know, it says, you know, we might think that we're going in there, out there as sheep to be slaughtered. No, we are not. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, you know. And the words almost come to there's nothing else one can say that, you know, it's neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, you know, height nor depth. And then it's like, what else can one say? Nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God. And now that is a mouthful, but, you know, God has chosen you. And nothing can separate you from his love. And that should be a reason, you know, that we've been chosen by God. I often think, you know, I wonder if somebody comes in here one day and says, you know, the president phoned me and he's chosen me to go and represent him somewhere. You know, we will probably say, wow, that's amazing, you know. But the creator of the universe and all that is, heavens and the earth, has chosen you to represent him and and that's something that we should ask ourselves, how do we feel about ourselves, you know? God has chosen us, that we should be more than conquerors. Now, are we able to accept ourselves as God accepts us? You know, like they say always, warts and all, God accepted you the way you are, and he wants you to be his ambassador here on earth, you know, and that, you know, there shouldn't be any insecurity, unwillingness to venture out. You know, and I think we often need to be reminded of who we are in Christ. You know, we spoke on Wednesday evening, you know, about if we only can grasp who we are in Christ, you know. And I would encourage you to do something when you get home or sometime during this week, you know. Just go and stand in front of the mirror. You know, you might feel silly, and maybe your family think you're silly, but, you know, you stand close, you know, maybe a ruler's length away, and look deep into your eyes, into those, what do you call these black little holes there? What was it? Pupils. Okay. Yeah, windows of our soul. But look deep in there, and, you know, and then say out loud, you know, when I was reading this, I was thinking, you know, who, you know, maybe I can say Barry, you know, you stand up front there in the mirror and you say, Barry, you know, chosen by God Almighty, but don't look away, look in the eyes, you know, chosen by God Almighty, more than a conqueror. But you want to look away, but look, you know, and say it loud the second time, you know. Barry, chosen by God Almighty, you know, more than a conqueror. And say it the third time very loud that your neighbors can hear it, you know. And then just stand and continue looking, and and let it sink in. And start clapping and bow, you know, and just feel, understand what it means that we've been chosen by God to represent Him. And that is something, we are more than conquerors. We're not only conquerors, we're more than conquerors. We are a royal priesthood, you know, and chosen by God Himself. And if we can grasp that, you know, I think it compels us to go. It compels us not to be silent, because how can the people around us, you know, see our faith if we are silent, if we don't interact with them? If we are more than conquerors, if we are a priesthood, then we need to act like that, you know. And I think if we know what we are in Christ, our self-awareness, our optimism, our assertiveness, our empathy, and all these emotional characters, you know, characteristics will just fall into place, because we will know what we are in Christ. Now, I know we are in many different environments, and I, and that is good. The Lord's, you know, the word says, wherever you are, He is with you, and He's chosen you, and that is great. Whether you are in this situation or that situation, you might be in a hostel where you get ridiculed for standing out. You might be, you know, in your office where you might feel uncomfortable, or amongst the rough bunch of people that swear all day, and whatever it may be. I mean, you might be amongst a bunch of surfers, you know. I had to bring in the surf message. But, you know, wherever we are, you know, and whatever we do, we should be compelled to go. You know, we are, I think, you know, I think that in Swakopmund and in Namibia as a whole, you know, we have not yet seen what God will do with someone that really knows, or some he or she really knows who they are in Christ. You know, and that it will just compel us to go and be courageous and go out there into this rough sea. You know, if we don't go into that rough sea, it will never calm down. You know, we need to go in so that it can calm down. So, you know, we need to be courageous to take those next steps, because the Lord calls us to. You know, He's called us, He's chosen us. And so is there anything that can hold us back? I just want to ask Carol and the team, maybe, I don't know whether we're going to have some communion as well still afterwards. But I just want to once again say, look, know who you are in Christ. Remember that God has chosen you, and if there's anyone here this morning that says, I don't know what you're talking about when you say God has chosen me, you know, today, the Lord says today is the day of salvation, you know, and today is the day that we can come and take that step, that we can say, you know, God has chosen me, God chooses you, God is, the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for each and every one. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants all of us to be those ambassadors, to go and take those next steps, you know. And we have all in our personal lives, I really encourage that we look for those goals. We look for those small things that we can take, whether it be at home, whether it be wherever it is, you know. Take those steps. Take that step of faith into those areas where you know you're going to feel uncomfortable, but where you know you have to trust Him. And even if this morning there's someone that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, take that step today to come to Him.
Can I just, the ushers, can you start standing at the, and you can play us a song while they... They're handing it out.